Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 208. Lots happened this past week. We had the League Cup final. Congratulations to Braga on winning. And also need to say congratulations to Estoril Praia for making it that far. That was quite an accomplishment for a modest club. We had the transfer window coming to a close this week. I will give you my grades and who I think really did the best job, in my opinion, for the transfer window among the Portuguese clubs. It's not who you might think. We had a controversy this week with the arrests with the leader of Porto's major supporters group. There's a major executive at Futebol Clube do Porto is being accused of some things. And once again, a lot of negative news by Porto off the pitch. I'll talk about that in a minute. Diomandi is playing with his country in Africa at the African Nations Cup, but he hasn't been playing. What is going on? And of course, I'll also talk about, in my opinion, what a great performance this week by Jota. And why I think Jota, you know, we have a lot of talent with the seleção, but why I think Jota is probably going to be the most important player this summer, because we need his scoring, and it seems like whenever he plays for Wolves and whenever he plays for Liverpool now these days, every time he scores, his teams win, and maybe he could bring that to the national team. So welcome back, everybody, to episode 208. Let me start off like I always do, and what was going on in Portugal last year at this time in 2023 in Portuguese football? And here's what was going on to kind of refresh your memory. So I know this is a feature that a lot of people like. Last year at this time, remember Schmidty, who eventually has now moved on? He scored a goal and that helped Sporting beat Rio Ave 1-0. He was the new fantastic youth player, one that would bring them a lot of money. I personally think he left way, way, way too soon. But he scored a goal last year, and he was starting to make a name for himself when Sporting beat Rio Ave 1-0. We saw Bruma making the move to Braga. He was going to be joining a club in Turkey, but said that he could not turn down the invitation to go play in Portugal again with Braga. And he even says that President Salvador's call to him to, at the time, come to Braga was something he felt is going to change his life for the better. And he's done very well with Braga ever since. When you think about a year later, unfortunately, he's injured these days. But he has done a terrific, terrific job, and I think that's been a fantastic move. Other things we saw last year at this time, Ruben Amorim was basically telling, of course, after, you know, he had some very key players he lost in the summer, he basically wanted to tell Varandas and Viana that he did not want to lose any more important players, and that made big news in Portugal. Of course, we know. Check this out. Last year at this time, they still had Gonçalo Inácio, Ugarte, Pote, and Edwards, but eventually, of course, as we know, they lost Ugarte. But last year at this time, they were saying that those were the four players that would not leave in the January window, and they did not leave. But at the time, Ugarte was starting to make a name for himself. You didn't hear about PSG at this time, but Newcastle was trying to make showing a lot of interest in him as well. And remember Hector Bellerin, who used to play at Arsenal, went out to play in Spain and then, of course, had a brief spell with Sporting. He obviously was being discussed with Sporting and joined the team, and he was going to be added to the Europa League roster. Cristiano Ronaldo scored his first goal for his club in Saudi Arabia right around this time last year. And after the move by Enzo to Chelsea, Roger Schmidt was basically telling the press that he still had a lot of vote of confidence with his midfield, even though they lost Enzo to Chelsea. So that what was going on last year in Portuguese football 1 year ago at this time, as we now begin February. Think about it. It feels like yesterday. It was New Year's Eve, and here we are now. Already in February, so time flies. Let me just start off very quickly again. Congratulations to Braga on winning their third League Cup. congratulations to Estoril for making it to the final. With the competition changing next summer, only the top six teams in the first division who finish in the top six after this season and the top two in the second division will advance to play in the future new format of the League Cup. And this is done to try to prevent a very heavy schedule with the Champions League kind of being changed starting, I believe, next year. I don't know if we'll ever see a club like Estoril make the Final Four again because of this new format. But obviously, it's been a great season so far for Estoril ever since they got Vasco Seabra. But obviously, the big news is that Braga, the fourth most successful club in Portugal, picks up another trophy. But what happens to them when they return to Liga play? A disappointing 1-1 draw to Chaves. They are now 7 points behind Porto for third place. So I think next year the Champions League is, in my opinion, pretty much out of reach. It's too late for them. They are still playing in the Europa League. Can they make a run there and make things interesting? But right now it looks like their only thing is to still try to see if they can catch third place. But I really don't see it with them trailing Porto by 7 points. One thing, by the way, that was very good about the League Cup final, they had very, very good ratings. It was shown on, one of the mailbag people I'll talk about later. It was on Seek in Portugal, and they got very good ratings. I think something like 500,000 people watched it. Usually, if it was a big three involved, they would have been maybe much more than that. But I think they still wound up having a very, very good Saturday night rating. It was the highest rated program on Portuguese television, Saturday night in Portugal. I think that's very impressive. And it shows you the popularity of football, soccer in Portugal, even when it doesn't involve the big three, as was the case with the League Cup. Let's talk about grading the transfer window. And obviously, we saw a lot of big moves. Let me just say this. I had read something, I think it was on Transfer Market, that said that the transfer window closed on Friday the 2nd. But it turns out it's wrong. It was actually on Wednesday. I'm surprised that the Liga closed before the Premier League. Obviously, look, whether you like what I'm about to say or not, we know that we sell a lot of our players. And while we didn't necessarily sell the best players in this transfer window, you know, come June, July, and August, a lot of clubs are going to be selling their players. This is the way it is. But I was very surprised to see that we wound up closing our transfer market against England and some of the other clubs, other leagues in Europe, excuse me. So that came as a really big surprise for me. But we saw a lot of big moves. We saw Petar Musa leave Benfica, go to FC Dallas, a Major League Soccer, where, by the way, I think he could do very, very well. He talked about how happy he was, that they wanted him very badly, and he was very, very happy. Looks like he's very happy to be going because, look, he was not a first-choice striker for Benfica. I think his goals-to-minutes ratio was excellent. I think he came off the bench. He scored key goals. And I personally don't think he was given a great shot to prove himself. But now he's going to go to FC Dallas, and he's going to be the number one guy there. And look, Texas is a great state. Dallas is a fantastic city. The only thing he's got to get used to is the very hot summers in Dallas. But he'll do fine. In my opinion, look, Benfica, as we know, Marcus Leonardo, they boosted their, especially up front. We know what they did. We know what Porto did, bringing Otávio from Famalicão. We know that those are very, very big moves. But in my opinion, a lot of these clubs are already good enough, and they're going to be competing for the title. But if there's one club that I think really made some big moves to try to help them, because right now they're kind of languishing toward the bottom, if they don't play much better, they could possibly fall into relegation. But they made a really big move. It is the only club in Portugal with a female president, and she's doing a fantastic job, even if the results don't show it. The Rio Ave manager is basically a manager that a lot of people feel is a manager for the future. But we obviously know that results haven't shown it so far. But I really like Adrian coming back to Portugal to play for Rio Ave. I like Umaru Embalo coming back to Portugal as well to play for Rio Ave. They're going to play. They're going to help a club avoid relegation and try to work their way up the table as soon as possible to secure themselves coming back to the first division next year. I really, really like this move. I think this is very smart on Riwaf's part to do this. Bruno Costa, remember him? He used to play for Porto. He's back in Portugal now, playing for Vizela. Let me just say also, if you listen to the last 2 to 3 episodes, I was right. I said that none of the big clubs were going to make big selling moves. I mean, I don't think Petr Musa is a big move for FC Dallas. I don't think it's a big move for Benfica because they got Marcus Leonardo, and the truth was Arthur Cabral's been playing a lot better. Fantastic bicycle kick. But none of the big players, the Oman, the Gonçalo Inácio, Goyacres, Diego Costa from Porto, João Neves, Antonio Silva. I said that they were not going to be moved, and guess what happened? They were not moved. And I said it because the top three race, where only the top two, first place, again, if you don't know, first place automatically goes to the Champions League. So in addition to winning, you go to the Champions League and automatically make about $40 million. Second place, you still got to go through the playoff for the Champions League, but at least you're in the hunt for the Champions League. And third place, you got to play a preliminary playoff just to go to the Europa. Because I believe in Portugal next summer, only the winner of the Taça de Portugal automatically goes to the Europa League. So by the way, if you're a club like Porto, you're going to want to win that competition in case you don't finish, in case you finish in third place. So I feel like for me, I was right. I said that they were, and I had all these people, Liverpool on official websites, Chelsea. I even had some from Barcelona asking me about Ruben Amorim as manager. And I told them it ain't going to happen. Many of them thought that maybe I just wasn't being honest. And look, here we are on February the second, and I was right. I did not see any of these clubs selling any of these big players, and I was right. So I think, in my opinion, although Benfica made some really big moves to basically shore up scoring, because they just do not seem to be the same club since they sold Gonçalo Ramos. We obviously know Guedes made the move to Spain. But in my opinion, I like what Riwaf did. I think they basically helped themselves to improve themselves. And I like Adrian. And by the way, I'll tell you why I think Adrian should have been playing for my favorite club in Portugal, Atlético de Jarcus, because his wife is from Arcos de Valves, I believe. And he has spent a lot of time, and a lot of people that know him when he comes into town. But I think, he could have done better, but I'll joke around about that a little bit later. Other moves we saw Giovanni Cabral. Remember Giovanni Cabral when we started playing football again during the pandemic? Remember we had to finish those 10 matches from the season? Giovanni Cabral was the best player in Portugal scoring. He was unbelievable, and he just never has been given a shot. Well, now he's going to join all the Portuguese players that are playing for Carlos Carvial at Olympiacos in Greece. Greece, Olympiacos, is the new Portuguese Wolves, is the best way to put it, with all the many players that they have there. And look, we want them to do well. Olympiacos, of course, plays one of the big clubs in Europe. We tend to come across playing at Olympiacos or at Panathinaikos, some of their big clubs in Greece. We tend to come across them playing in the playoffs. I know Braga did. Was it Braga that beat Olympiacos last year? I can't remember. They did beat a Greek team. But we tend to cross paths with Greek teams. And in my opinion, Giovanni Cabral making the move there is a very good idea because he's going to play. Rodrigo Ribeiro signs with Sporting. He's loaned out to Nottingham Forest. I think that's a good move. Thiago Moraes makes the move from Lille, from Boavista to Lille, a Portuguese player who did very well with Boavista. And we saw Vitinha. Doesn't seem to have been doing very well, and already he's being moved to Genoa in Italy. With a buy option of $25 million. I don't think people are happy with him in Marseille. Remember, he moved. I talked about this last week when I was talking about, a year ago, that he made the big move for Braga, and he has just not worked out, at least to the extent that Marseille wanted to still keep him and not loan him out. So I think that's pretty something important to say. And one other interesting move I saw regarding one of my favorite teams in the second division because of their proximity to Arcos de Valves up north in Minho, is Sherwin Dandy Seedorf. Clarence Seedorf's nephew signed with Lenk Villaverdens, who, by the way, has put together some decent results lately to at least get to the relegation line and maybe give themselves some hope, because at one point I thought they were dead and buried. But lately they've been doing pretty, pretty good, in my opinion. Let's go ahead. But before I review, I just want to talk quickly about the controversy with Porto and what happened on Thursday morning. You probably know it by now, but if you don't, the head of Porto's supporters group was detained by police. One of 12 people, included two employees from Porto, the club. One of the higher-ranking executives in Porto is also being accused. A lot of these is regarding the intimidation from what I've talked about already on this podcast, the General Assembly back in November, the intimidation that there are people who are not going to be supporting Pinto da Costa. And at that General Assembly, we saw chaos, we saw fights break out, and we saw people basically not liking the fact that some people aren't going to be voting for Pinto da Costa. And that situation has triggered the investigation, and he was brought into police, into custody. They found money. There's a whole other thing going on there. And again, if you're a regular podcast listener, I always say every 2 months on average, we're going to have a Buscas. We're going to have a police situation. And I think the last one was, I think, Pinto da Costa is being searched and some other people. And we had a whole slew of things. Clubs being looked at. And remember 2 years ago, Luis Felipe Vieira from Benfica. Remember that whole thing going on? So we have another, what I think is very negative thing for Portuguese football. And, you know, this may help Andres Villas-Boas because, you see, the biggest thing people don't like about Pinto da Costa losing is not the fact that, you know, obviously they don't want him to lose. This is somebody that has run the club for over 40 years. In addition to what he's done with Porto domestically, he still won two Champions League. He still has won the International Super Cup. They used to call it the Toyota Cup, the very famous game when they played Peñarol of Uruguay in a blizzard in Japan. The year that Jose Mourinho won, although he wasn't there with the club at the time, I don't remember the Spanish manager. They won what was at the time the FIFA World Club Cup, but it only involved the winner of, I think, Libertadores in Europe, if I recall. And he's obviously been to several Super Cups by the fact that they've won three European Cups. So Pinto da Costa, for every bad story you hear, people in Porto will say, I'll tell you three good stories about him. Stories about him being great to people with disabilities, the things he's done to businesses in Porto. And not to mention the fact that Porto, thanks to the club in a way, has been able to project its city internationally because of the club, not so much in the last 10 years with the tourism boost, but this has been going on because of the club. Then there's the other side to Pinto da Costa. People say, they even made a movie about this, about corruption. And there are a lot of people that are saying that the supporters club is basically intimidating people, which is what they're saying happened at the General Assembly that provoked this investigation, which led to these, you know, 12 different people, including the leader, Super de Gones, being detained. And there's a lot of people that say that there's a lot of things going behind the scenes. We've seen Andres Villas-Boas, although the club and the supporters group have said that they are not involved whatsoever, especially the supporters group say that they have nothing to do with it. But we've seen Andres Villas-Boas' house vandalized. I think one of his helpers of his house has been assaulted. And there's a lot of people that feel that there's a lot of corruption going on in the city. I remember the movie they made about Pinto da Costa, Corrupção, very famous Portuguese actor did the movie. You know, they were saying that he was being tipped off by the police and he ran away to Spain. There's so much good, just as there's so much bad that could be said about him. And no famous person in history is ever 100% perfect with regards to the memories people have of this individual. But the bottom line is there's a big thing going to be happening in Porto with this election, because the thing that people that support Pinto da Costa the most hate is that they would hate to see Pinto da Costa lose in a vote by sócios after being at the club for 40 years. That's what scares a lot of people. That somebody who has brought what he has brought to Porto, there are people that feel like that is not the way for him to go. Now, I don't believe, even though he's talked, he's been interviewed with the press, that he has officially declared if he's going to be running for club president again and continue to extend his mandate well into his 40 years as a president. At least based on what I know, please correct me if I'm wrong. But the thing with Pinto da Costa is, could it be that he hasn't announced he's running yet because he is very worried about the possibility of losing the election? So why not go into the election and just retire and maybe put Vitor Bahia as the guy that he's going to support. So, you know, the election, I believe, is in April. Between here and there, there's going to be a lot more news we're going to hear about. But this situation, these arrests, are not a very good thing. Whether it's any club that involves the police, it is not a very good thing. And the news, it was dominating all the news cycles in Portugal on Thursday. It's not a very, very good thing. So we'll see what happens with that. Let's go quickly. This weekend, of course, match day 20. Everything gets going. First off, only Saturday, Sunday, and Monday football. Sporting plays at Familia Cong on Saturday. Porto at home to Rio Ave. Benfica only play on Sunday. They will be at home to Gil Vicente. Braga will be at home to Moreirense. We already know. In my opinion, the best match this weekend, I think, is Braga-Moreirense, only because fourth place is playing sixth place in that. That's in my opinion. I think Familia Cong Sporting, because Familia Cong is in eighth place playing Sporting. This is a very tough away match for Sporting. Sporting, as you know, leading the way with 49 after their 8-0 defeat, or I should say beating, of Casa Pia. First place with 49, Benfica 48 in second. Porto still in the hunt in third with 44. But Braga, I think they're out of for the top three, in my opinion, but we'll see. I could be wrong. Only 37 points. 12 points behind Sporting in first. 11 points behind Benfica in second. And 7 points behind Porto in third place. So that is not a very good situation. Moving along to the second division, everything gets going on Friday. We have two matches. Last place, Lenk Vilvoordense, taking on first place Santa Clara. Mafra taking on Belenenses. And then we have three matches on Saturday, three matches on Sunday, and everything wraps up on Monday with Tundela, Passos de Ferreira. In my opinion, the best match this weekend, I really like this. Let me see here. I think it's Marítimo taking on Benfica B. Marítimo's in trouble. You got Santa Clara in first with 42 points. You got AVS in second with 40. Then you got Nacional in third with 37. So the battle, remember, top two automatically get promoted. Third place goes to the playoffs. But Marítimo is now is basically 6 points behind third place Nacional for the playoff spot and 9 points off of second place AVS. Of course, Marítimo is a club that has spent many years in the first division, and it's not going to happen this year. They are way, way behind. They made a managerial change, remember, and then that manager eventually got hired at Turians. Well, those changes aren't working out because Marítimo is now way off the pace. And Turians, my favorite club in the second division from Torres Vedras, now with only 27 points. And they're going to stay up, which I know for the city of Torres Vedras would be great. But they are now 10 points behind the playoff spot, so they are in very big trouble. And that's your second division report. Now, we got midweek football next week. We got the quarterfinals of the Taça de Portugal. And I could tell you that on Wednesday, Santa Clara will be hosting Porto. Not a very easy match for Porto, going to first place in the second division, Santa Clara. And then we're going to have Leiria at home to Sporting. Sporting should win this, but it's not an easy match. And by the way, this is an RTP match in Portugal, so this should be an RTP international match. Then on Thursday, we'll have Vitória Guimarães at home to Gil Vicente, a pair of Minhoto teams. And then we'll have Vizela at home to Benfica. And that should also be not only the RTP match in Portugal, but that will also be the RTP international match. And again, if you're in a country that doesn't have RTP international, go to rtp.pt. They should be showing the matches depending on if your country doesn't have the rights. And again, that is one of the great things about the Taça de Portugal. Unlike the League Cup, which RTP didn't have the rights, is that we could at least watch this, you know, these games on RTP International. So again, Portuguese Cup, the quarterfinals, no two legs here. That starts in the semis, and that's going to be taking place next Wednesday and Thursday. Moving along here, let me go to international and managers abroad report. And really, I just want to talk about one person. First off, really sorry to see that João Felix's injury. Hopefully, he's going to be doing okay. But Diego Jota continues to be brilliant with Liverpool. Every time he scores, when he played at Wolves and played at Liverpool, they always win. When you think about all the players we have with Bruno Fernandes, Cristiano Ronaldo, all these players that we have and all the attacking midfielders we have and all the attackers we have, I don't know if people are going to necessarily mention Jota right away with the three or four choices, but I would like to see Jota bring that success to the Seleção like he does with Liverpool, because every time he scores, something good happens. And I know, I think he had some goals last year when they beat up Liechtenstein and when they played that match in Algarve. But I think that's one player that we don't talk about enough that I think could really help Portugal out, and that would be Diogo Jota. Quick report about the Big Four. Sporting, biggest win in 50 years, defeating Casapia. Diomande is playing for his country in the African Nations Cup, but he hasn't been playing a lot. For a player that is supposedly being watched by some of the big Premier League giants, this is turning into a big mystery. Goyacarash is getting the full treatment from the press. Record did a big thing with him. Here's what you should know about him if you don't already know from the tweets. He loves to sleep. He likes to eat healthy. He only drinks water during the season. So I guess we're talking water from, what, middle of July until the middle of June. And then maybe, I guess, what does he drink? Maybe wine? I don't know. And basically, his next goal is going to cost Sporting $1 million to Coventry, because I believe that's goal number 25, which will cost an objective. Ruben Amorim got some reports in Spain with the fact there's going to be a managerial change at Barcelona. I had some people from Barcelona ask me, hey, this guy's great. Do you think that he really means it when he says if he doesn't win a trophy at the end of the season, he's going to leave? No. Even if he doesn't win a trophy, I don't see him leaving. But the question is only he can answer, is he ready for the big-time move? And Barcelona's a big-time move, so we'll see. Liverpool, you know, with Klopp announcing a sabbatical, is another club where a lot of fans would like to see him there. The B team of Sporting missed the playoffs to try to get promoted to the second division, so they continue to languish in the third division. And St. Juste continues to be bad luck. The poor guy continues to suffer injuries and continues to be on the medical bulletin. Benfica, Arthur Cabral. I was watching ESPN here in my home country, and they start off with the most interesting play in the world of sports. And guess what it was? I couldn't believe it. I don't even watch this show a lot. But it was Arthur Cabral's bicycle kick goal from Monday that led off ESPN here in North America. And I thought that was pretty cool for a Monday night on ESPN in America. So if you didn't know that, yeah, look it up on social media. Di Maria at Argentina looks like he's going to be making the move. He only wanted to come to Benfica 1 year and see how it goes, but it looks like he's going back to play for his youth club, Estudiantes, so no surprise there. Petr Musa, I already told you about. I think this is a great move for Petr Musa. I think he's going to score some goals in the Major League Soccer, and he's going to go to a place where he is wanted. Let me move on to Porto. Conceição, Correio de Minha, CMTV. A lot of people call it tabloid, yet it's one of the most read newspapers, including the TV station in Portugal. They're saying that at the end of the season, that regardless of who wins the election, a Conceição will be moving on. Pay attention to this. Correio de Minha may be very tabloidy, but they do sometimes get some big stories right. And I'm not surprised, because I thought Conceição was going to leave last summer. So we'll see what happens with that. We saw, obviously, I told you about what happened with the arrests. Otávio, they get him from Famalicão. Looks like he's going to be getting the start this weekend against Rio Ave. And Evan Nielsen might be getting a call-up to the Brazilian national team. He has been on fire, has scored in four straight matches. He has at least a goal or assist in five straight matches. And it looks like he's being eyed for Brazil. And by the way, when you play in Portugal for a big club and you do what he's been doing lately, any player is always going to be considered for the national team, and he's finally getting into the hunt. Told you about Braga. Congratulations to Braga winning the third League Cup trophy, but they drop a dud, come home, and draw 1-1 at home with Chaves. Unacceptable. And let me also talk about Boa Vista quickly, in case you don't know. Bosnic, their big-time striker, wanted to make a move to Sevilla. The club said no. They want him because they need him. They don't have a lot of strength up top. Apparently, as I'm recording this episode, he is basically telling them that he doesn't want to play for them anymore, so we could have some issues. Boa Vista already struggling, falling toward the bottom, and now their best player wants to force a move. I think it's too late, because unless he's going to be moving to Turkey, because I know their windows open up for another week. But he is not happy that he wasn't able to go to Sevilla, and that is not very, very good news for Boavista. Moving on here, let me also congratulate Benfica's women's women's team. Tremendous 4-4 draw with Barcelona. They had already qualified for the quarterfinals of the Champions League, but to draw against one of the big teams in Europe is a tremendous accomplishment. And not only that, but Benfica's moving up the club ranking. So congratulations to Benfica's women. And let me end this podcast like I always do with the final two things here. First off, Atlético dos Arcos won last week, 5-0. Big time win. We needed that. We had two straight draws that made our first place lead go from 7 to 3 points. Munsong also won last week. So right now, my favorite club in Portugal, Atlético dos Arcos, 48 points in first. Munsong right behind us, only 3 points behind us with 45 points. And Cardinal Lens, which is a club that I think at one point we had a 12-point lead. Now it is only down to 7. They are only trailing us by 7 points with 41 points in third place. This weekend we have a derby in Atlético dos Arcos, in Arcos de Valves, excuse me. We have Távora, the other club in the districts that's from Arcos de Valves. They'll be at home playing Atlético dos Arcos. Távora started off the year pretty good, but now they're all the way near the bottom. Not necessarily in relegation, but they're in 13th place. Atlético dos Arcos has a lot of success against this club, so we're going to need that again this weekend because, again, we're in this fight with Munsong. Nothing is over in this group. Nothing. We got a long way to go, and we got to start with a win this weekend. And Munsong, they will be at Cerveira, which is a sixth-place team. So this is an opportunity for us. If Munsong could drop some points at sixth-place Cerveira, maybe that could help us try to grow this three-point lead because it is getting very, very nervous for me, I got to tell you. Mailbag, let me start off with Glenn Gomes from Australia, high with the Portuguese League Cup winning the TV ratings on Saturday, despite it being Braga Estoril. Do you think this would help Portugal going back to have at least one match from the Liga shown on TV per week? At least streaming one game on Liga site or even your suggestion of YouTube. Can I get your opinion on this? I haven't seen one. Maybe there is a show which shows the highlights of all the games. Help. Well, here's the story. In Portugal, you have to have Sport TV to watch all the first division games and second division. And you also have to have BTV to watch Benfica's home games. They are the only two in Portugal, and they're all paid versions, of course. What happens every year is I think the Liga, or at least they started doing this, last time I read about this was 4 or 5 years ago, is the Liga will basically ask the clubs all the TV stations, the private TV stations, we're talking SIC, RTP 1, 2, and 3, TVI, RTP Memoria, if they want to bid to show one Liga match per week, and unfortunately nobody bids. They do not want to spend all that money to show one Liga match per week, even though I think they would do very good with ratings. So as a result, at least that's what I remember a few years ago, there is an opportunity for someone in a private channel to come along and buy one match per week that everybody in Portugal would be able to see on free TV, which means the what you call the antenna TV, the digital TV, where you only need the digital antenna to get the free TV, all those channels. And unfortunately, they do make it available in a lot of countries, from what I know, don't. There are no shows that I know of. There used to be on RTP International a long time ago. VSport on Twitter does have the highlights of each of the match. It's something I also tweet out, on our PortugueseSoccer.com Twitter. So I suggest you check that out. But I don't know of anything international. I mean, in Australia, I don't know, Glenn. I know in America you have, and I don't know if they've been doing it yet, but Gold TV usually has a weekly roundup show. I haven't checked lately if they still do that, but that was something I used to watch for a very long time. So I think you're out of luck in Australia, my man. I'm very sorry to say that. Moving on, I want to give a shout out to Jack Hacken in Holland. He wanted to praise SofaScore website. Apparently, he is able to follow the lower tiers of Portuguese football. And according to you, it made clubs like great Atlético dos Arcos and the terrible Ponte Barca easily accessible with a few clicks. Yes, terrible Ponte Barca, terrible. But yes, the great Atlético dos Arcos. So he wanted to give that website a shout out. And I want to apologize also. Somebody on Facebook had sent me a message about Adrian signing with Rio Ave. My understanding is that Adrian has ties with Arcos de Valdevez. I believe his father is from Arcos de Valdevez. I think his wife has a connection with Arcos de Valdevez, but and I apologize that I don't remember your name. I'm looking at my phone here, but someone had commented about it's too bad that he didn't go to Athletico dos Arcos, because obviously a player like him would have done a great thing to help this club try to get promoted to the fourth division. Let me tell you something about the talents that have come from Arcos de Valdevez. You got, of course, Adrian, who has connections there. You have Pedro Tiba, who plays for Gil Vicente, and at one time, 7-8 years ago, was being mentioned with the Big Three. You've got the Estives brothers, the one that's with Sporting, the other one that I think left Porto to go play for Italy. The name escapes me right now. They're from Arcos de Valdevez, the Estives brothers. I believe the one from Sporting is playing on loan in Holland. We had a goalkeeper for many years that played in the first division named Sacramento. I think he eventually went on to become an assistant coach with Jose Mourinho, not necessarily this time with Roma, but the previous years. So Athletico dos Arcos has over the years had some players from local, you know, that have moved on. And it would have been fun to see. I mean, Adrian, look, he's still got a lot to give. But you know what? With a guy like Adrian, maybe if they were playing the third division, maybe would he finish playing there? Probably not, because this guy, after all, won a European championship. But that would have been a lot of fun to see. Anyway, folks, that's it for this week. Sorry I couldn't get to all the mailbags. You want to email me, criticize me, correct me, peacesoccercom@gmail.com, PortugueseSoccer.com on Twitter, Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_Noticias, our partner on Instagram and Threads. And again, peacesoccercom@gmail.com with any of your questions. Folks, I'm going to wrap up episode 208 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. As I always say, please take care of your families, and I'll talk to you next week when Taça de Portugal will know our final four teams. Take care, everybody.